This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm today's host, Scott Burton. Our first guest is here from Juno Composts, Lisa Doherty. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. All right. I think a lot of our listeners probably know what Juno Composts is. I certainly do. Just in case somebody hasn't, though, tell us, when did you start and where are you today?
Well, Juno Compost started in 2017, and we are a community composting service, and so we're recycling organics, and so we pick things up at the curb, which includes food scraps and yard debris, and then we bring it to our site, and we are basically a manufacturing company where we're processing it into finished compost, which can be used in local gardens. And so when we started, it was just a few people, and I was running it out of the back of a Subaru, and now we serve about 350 customers, and we're on half an acre, and we're doing anywhere from 4,000 to 7,000 pounds of food scraps a week that we're processing and collecting.
Got it. And we'll get to the details of that in a minute. Take us back to 2017. What inspired you and your friends to start this?
I wish it was me and my friends. It was just me. And now it's me and one part-time employee. Basically, I am a gardener and I needed to make some soil. And so I started composting. And the more I did it, the more I found that that was the most enjoyable part of gardening for me. And I wanted to share that with others. And so I did a pilot project for a Master Gardeners course. And then just decided to turn it into a business so I could bring it to more of Juno.
So you say that you enjoy composting. Was there sort of an ecological component to it as well for you?
Well, for sure. It's great for the environment because you're not buying inorganic fertilizers, which are based on the petroleum industry, but also just firsthand, it's a recycling that you can participate from start to finish. And you see the whole process right in front of your eyes. And the first time I built a hot compost pile and there was steam and turning through it and, you know, putting a whole winter squash in. And then 2 weeks later, there being nothing left, it was just mind blowing to me. And I never ceased to be amazed by composting.
So before the interview, I asked you for a total number. Can you report that to our listeners? Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the amount of pounds that you've essentially kept out of the landfill. Is that right?
Yeah. So we keep track of all the food scraps that we collect at the curb. We don't keep track of the yard debris that gets dropped off at our site because there'd be no way to weigh that. And so since we've been in business, we've collected 390,000 pounds of food scraps, which is a lot. And when you're just lifting it 5 gallons at a time, if you want a comparison, a visual comparison, you could say that is 16 school buses. You could say it's 30 Asian elephants, or you could probably say it's about 1 million tiny toads.
All right. 16 school buses. How many elephants?
30 Asian elephants.
And how many toads?
Oh, you know, 1 million, 2 million, depends on what kind of toad you're talking about.
And that could have been in the landfill. Take us, what happens to a bucket? So I know here at KTOO, we are one of your clients, and, you know, we have this bucket with a 5 gallon bucket, and it has a green sort of compostable bag inside of it. And then we take those and put them into a bigger can that I think you come and pick up. Tell us where it goes from there.
So it goes into our truck and it goes out to our site in Lemon Creek. And there we basically are dumping everything out of the truck and then we're mixing it with a bunch of other stuff. And so while we've collected 390,000 pounds of food scraps, we've also collected just as many pounds of carbon sources to mix in with the food scraps. And so things like leaves, shredded paper, compostable food service ware, different types of yard debris, wood chips, sawdust, things like that. And so we mix those carbon sources in with all of the food scraps using a front end loader. in a covered bay, and everything gets covered. So there's never any food scraps that are laying around. And then we kind of let the microbes do their thing. And so they're breaking everything down, and we wait a certain amount of time. I'm not going to tell you all of my tricks, but we wait a certain amount of time, and then we turn the pile, and we do that over and over again until it no longer resembles anything that went in. And then we let it cure for a long time, and then we sift it, bag it, and sell it.
Got it. And earlier you talked about the first time you saw a compost pile steaming, and you just mentioned microbes. Can you tell us a little bit more about the science that's happening, or the biology, or whatever it is that's happening inside that pile of compost?
Yeah, sure. So a compost pile is an ecosystem. Basically, you're just trying to create the conditions for this ecosystem to thrive. And so the microbes need the same things that we need. They need food, they need water, they need air, they need shelter. And so when you create those conditions, the microbes can multiply. And as they're multiplying and digesting things, that's what makes the heat. And so it has nothing to do with ambient temperature or sunshine shining on your pile. It's the heat comes from the work of the microbes.
Okay. And you mentioned leaves, and I think that's maybe what we're going to talk about today too, right? Let's see. I know the maples around my house are all shedding their leaves, and maybe some of the willows and the cottonwoods. How can we get those leaves to you?
Well, you can bring them to our drop-off site. We're at 2300 Anka Street, which is if you're going to Costco, by O'Reilly's, you take that road that turns into the Hall Road. We have a drive-through yard. You just pull in where it says enter here, and then there's a sign that says leaves, and you dump your leaves out there, and then you can loop out through our yard.
Can I stop you there for a sec? I was just going to say, do we pay when we do that, or is that free? How's that work?
No, leaves is free. Yeah, it's always free year round. And in the fall time is kind of our big push when we're trying to get people to bring their leaves to us. So we have leaves to compost the food scraps over the winter. Yeah, it's totally free. And this year is our fourth year doing a leaf drive. And it's been very different every year. And this year, I'm pretty excited to be launching it into a fundraiser. A raffle, which is going to raise funds for a new program we're doing.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. So basically, we made an online form. So when you drop off your leaves, you can fill out the form, and that's entering you into the raffle. And for each bag of leaves that you rake, you get one entry into the raffle. And at the end of the leaf drive, we're going to be pulling prizes. And the prizes are this. The first prize is a year of curbside compost service for you, but also for one low-income household in the community. And then the second prize is 6 months of compost service for you, and then a year for another low-income family. And third prize is 3 months and another year for a low-income household. And so this is just kind of our way to try to inspire people to rake their leaves and also make compost service available for people who otherwise couldn't afford it.
Got it. What inspired this? What made you think about this?
Well, I'm always trying to think about how to bring composting to more people. And over the years, I've done a lot of free composting classes. But I also realize that there's a lot of people who just don't have space or the time to compost on their own, and still they can't afford my curbside service. And so I've just been trying to brainstorm of ways how to make it more available for people. And I thought this would be a great way for to inspire people to rake leaves. And then this is how I can give back and thank everyone for raking leaves, is to provide free year-long service for low-income families in Juneau.
All right. And you may have mentioned this already, but is this curbside as well, or just dropping off leaves at the site?
This is just dropping off leaves. Yeah. In 2017, we did do curbside leaf collection, and we actually would rake leaves for free for people. But we've just kind of grown as a business, and we're still only 1.5 employees. And so, yeah, we're just asking people to bring their leaves to the drop-off yard.
Got it. What's the best way to bag leaves these days? What would you recommend?
Well, if you have a bunch of totes or garbage cans, you can put them right in there and then just dump your containers out at our site. Or there are these really nifty paper bags that are 30 gallons and they're multi-plied, and you can get them all over town. I think Don Ables and IGA, Fred Meyer's, Home Depot all usually have them. I think Western Auto. And so you can put them in these paper bags, and then at our site, you could just chuck the whole thing into our pile because the paper is compostable.
Got it. So if they're in the paper bags, you could just throw that off your truck or your car and be done. If somebody brings you leaves in plastic bags, do they need to empty those and take the plastic bags with them?
Yes, that is correct. And that is how we always operate. We try to be as plastic free as we can be. And so we encourage people, if they want to use a plastic bag, to just carefully dump it out so they can take their bags and reuse them at home.
Or, as you mentioned, reusable containers like trash cans or totes, those work well as also, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And at the same time, you can sign up for this raffle, which sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. And so basically, after you drop your leaves off, we have a form that's on our website, and you just fill out the form, have your basic information, say how many bags that you contributed, and then that's how many times your name will go into the big raffle pot. And then there's also a place for you to send us a picture of your load so that we can verify you, you're not cheating and saying you brought us 15,000 bags. We also have a form for low-income families who would like to apply to receive one of the free years of service.
Okay. Just in case somebody wants to sign up for Juno Compost outside of leaves, they want curbside pickup, is your website the best place to go to get signed up?
Yep, for sure. You can find us on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook, but everything takes you to the website contact form if you want to sign up for service.
And remind us what your website is?
It's junocompost.com.
Got it. And tell me a little bit more about... Can a house go in individually, or I understand there's something like a hub you can do with your neighbors? Tell us how that works.
Yeah. So if you sign up as an individual, it's $25 a month and you have your own bucket and you're just putting it out at your house. But if you want to be a little more community spirited or save some money, you can host a hub at your site. And so a hub just means you reach out to your neighbors and get them to join with you. And they'll have their own bucket and their own invoice every month. But all the buckets will get put out at one person's house. And that's $17 a month. And it's just a really great way to build community on your street, you know, getting other people to participate. And it all just really goes to help our community, keeping more stuff out of our landfill.
Got it. So there's not even a central, let's call it trash can or something. They all go in. You just all put out your buckets at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And so basically the hub just requires everyone to interact when forming the hub. But afterwards, yeah, everyone's dealing with their own bucket and you don't have to worry if you got yours out on time or the other neighbor got theirs out on time. Everyone's just, you drop your bucket off at the hub and off you go.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like that's even more affordable than an individual account. So you're sort of incentivizing cooperation.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And then we also have another option that's also a few dollars less, and that's drop-off service. And so we have a bear-proof container out at our site, and you can pay to have access to that. And so that's $15 a month. And when you're doing your weekly grocery trip at Costco or Panhandle Produce, you can just swing by our yard and bring your food scraps then.
All right. If you're just tuning in, that's the voice of Lisa Doherty. She is the founder of Juno Compost, and it's time to get our leaves to Juno Composts. Lisa, tell us one more time how to find where to drop those off.
We are on Anka Street, which connects to the Hall Road behind Costco. And so just drive up that road, stay left until you see us, and you'll see an enter here sign. Pull in up to the leaves, and then you can loop out the yard.
Got it. And what are the hours of operation when we can drop off leaves?
It's a self-serve honor system operation. And so just anytime during daylight hours, you're welcome to go. I just want to comment that even though it's a dirt road, it is like a semi-truck highway. And so you might want to slowly drive by our site to just kind of see what we have going on. But I ask that you just do pay mind that it is a road. And so pull into our yard before you stop to take the sites in.
All right. And it's junocompost.com. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Check out the operation there, Lisa Doherty, and annual leaf drive and community collaboration for environmental and social justice raffle as well. Lisa, it's been nice talking to you. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just hope that everyone will bring their leaves to us this fall. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lisa. Take care.
You too. Who are you?